Welcome back to another episode of Talking Moto. High Point recap this week, and this race seemed very, very important for both 450s and 250s. Chance Hymus coming off his big win in Thunder Valley. Was he going to be able to back up what he did in Thunder Valley, or was Hayden Deegan going to be able to restake his claim at the top step of the 250 podium? And Deegan was off to a good start in qualifying. He came out qualified fastest with a 202.798. Chance Hymus was second fastest, though, but it was 1.8 seconds behind Hayden Deegan. So Hymus ran a 204.621. Levi Kitchen third, Shimoda fourth. And coming into this race at High Point, a lot of people have said that it is the most European type of track that we have over here in the AMA Pro Motocross series. Tom Vielle was asked about that after the race, and he said he has no clue what track it's compared to. He doesn't think there's really a track over in Europe that can compare to High Point, especially with how wide High Point is and how narrow their tracks are. And basically just saying all this, well, one, just to say it, to get it out there because Vielle said it, and two, the long way to get that. Vielle qualified in 10th, and I was really starting to question Tom Vielle and his ability to ride motocross this year. He has struggled big time this season, but yeah, just very interesting to see him down in 10th, 3.7 seconds off of Hayden Deegan. Now, he was out there. He was, for the most part, he was Deegan's biggest competitor last outdoor season. There was times where Hymus was the biggest competitor for a race, or Levi Kitchen. But for the most part, all of last season, 2024, Tom Vielle was Deegan's biggest worry. And it just hasn't really been like that. Going into this week, Tom Vielle's last Moto podium was Moto 2 in Fox Raceway. And he didn't get it in Moto 1 either here in High Point. So getting into Moto number 1. Last week, one of my big takeaways was how important starts have been in this 250 class and how you haven't really seen anybody come up and through the pack and win a moto. Usually everybody's come from fourth, maybe fifth, to go on to win. And Nate Thrasher grabbed a hole shot. Deegan was in second place, not what everybody wants to see. And Tom Vielle was in fourth place. I do believe got my motos a little mixed up there. So yeah, Seth Hamaker, not too bad of a start. Drew Adams was also up there at one point. Okay, there we are. Thought I was going crazy for a second. I couldn't find Levi Kitchen's name on the results. And I was like, I knew he was up there. So yeah, there is a point, like it seems like we've had almost every moto this year. We've had three of the Pro Circuit Kawasaki's up front, or maybe not up front, but packed together. And we had that again with Kitchen, Hamaker, and Drew Adams for a little bit. Drew Adams, rookie, did start to slide down a little bit. He He got into fourth place at one point, and then he was down in 16th place where he ended. I think he had a crash in there early, so that's what happened to Drew Adams. And Deegan was able to get into the lead very, very fast. On lap one, he was able to get into the lead. And then it just became, how big of a gap was Deegan going to be able to pull over Levi Kitchen and Hamaker and Vial and those guys? 5 minutes in, Deegan already had a four-second lead. Joe Shimoda started to work his way up. He got a very bad start off of moto number one, so he had a bad start and had to work his way up from pretty deep down in the field. I'm going to pull up a replay of the start right now and see if we can find out what exactly happened to Joe Shimoda here. Where? He did go down as well. Shimoda, I can't find him. There he is. He was coming across the whole shot line, 1-2, and around 10th place. Then he had a little bit of some mishaps, did go down while going past, it looks like, Ryder D. Maybe Casey Cochran. I don't know. Hard to tell. One of the two gas guys, Joe Shimoda, went down trying to get by him. But he was able to work his way up into sixth place. Okay, here we are. Shimoda, yeah, bad start, like I said. It was passing Cochran for eighth place. And then it looked like his front tire just kind of stepped outside of the rut and went down to 13th place. But like I mentioned, was able to pick his way all the way back up into sixth place for moto number one. And then 10 minutes in, Deegan had a 6.7-second lead. And Levi Kitchen was then able to make an inside move on Nate Thrasher for second place. And then around the halfway point, Nate Thrasher just kind of started to slide back a little bit. Now, he did have the lead for about half a lap, was running in second for a good 10 minutes, and then eventually did slide all the way back to 10th. He got passed three times in about two laps, so that definitely does not help his case. I know he's coming back from injury, and he just hasn't quite had the motocross season that I'm sure he was looking forward to. But then there was one point, 10 minutes left, so 20 minutes in, Deegan had about a 13-second lead, and then just was able to ride it in. I think he finished it with, 7-second win. And he was also the only one to put in lap times in the 205 range. Everybody, the next closest was a handful of guys in the 207s. So yeah, nobody else in the 205s or even the 206s. I think Levi Kitchen might have been the closest with a 207.3. Yeah, that appears to be the case. And Chance Hymus, the two Hondas didn't have very good starts here. Chance Hymus was lined up next to Julian Beaumaire. Oh, and Joe Shimoda. Look at there. And Joe Shimoda was just able to kind of close off on Chance Hymus. And Hymus got caught up in a little first turn bobble by a couple guys. Hymus had to slow down a bit. And, yeah, he was able to work his way up into fifth. So it put him in a decent spot to get on the podium for the overall. The win, little bit of a different story, especially with Deegan going out there and taking moto number one with Levi Kitchen in second. And then Seth Hamaker from Pennsylvania, his hometown race, in third. Vial showed a little bit more here in Moto 1 than he did compared to qualifying, finishing fourth. And Chance Hymus rounds out our top five. And one thing that was really nice to see, Jalik Swole coming back after rupturing his Achilles. I think it was in about November, maybe December, training for Supercross. First race back, finished 14th. Overall, he was the top Triumph guy overall. Yes, Jalik Swole was the top Triumph guy for Triumph. That wouldn't make any damn sense. Going into moto number two now. And it was VL with a whole shot, bringing some of that whole shot power that he had over in Europe. He's had a little bit of it here in the States. Hasn't been as consistent off the greats that I'm sure he wishes he had the same greats that we're using over in the GP series. Because I don't know exactly what the difference is, but I do know the two different greats are different. That's always a big talk when it comes around the Motocross of Nations time, how the greats are different, and all the AMA guys got to get used to the greats, and all the GP guys are already used to those greats. But anyway, Vial grabbed a whole shot. Deegan was able to get into the lead fairly quickly, and then in my mind, it was about the same exact thing as moto number one. Just see how good or how big of a lead Deegan would be able to put in on everybody. So Deegan came across the line in fourth and then went inside on that right before that tunnel jump, and everybody else faded to the outside, and Deegan was just able to capitalize on shortening the track. Tom Vial made a little mistake right before the downhill roller, so he wasn't able to have enough power to really double them or kind of skip across them, because I don't really think you can call it double it when they were all consistently about every lap kind of casing it rear tire first into the top of that next one. Vial had to just roll it a couple times, and that's when Deegan was able to grab his lead and move forward. He had Vial and Hymus right behind him. This time, Levi Kitchen got a bad start. He got same type of thing that Chance Hymus had to deal with in moto number one. Levi Kitchen had to deal with about the same thing. He had a good start, or a good jump, excuse me, and then just got kind of closed off a little bit heading into the first corner. Is that him there? Yeah. And then made another little mistake while moving forward and was down in about 16th. On lap number one. And Hymus was putting the moves on old Tom Vial. Went outside, inside, and was able to square him up for second place in this moto. But I think it was just a little too much already, because around 10 minutes in, Deegan already had a 4.7 second lead. And I mentioned Levi Kitchen was down in 16th on lap one. At that 10-minute mark, or maybe 20-minute mark, whatever way you want to look at it, 20 minutes left, 10 minutes in, Levi Kitchen was able to get already up into 6th place. And the focus shift to the overall podium, where with Levi Kitchen 2nd place in Moto 1, Tom Vial is 4th in Moto 1. There is a chance that Levi was going to be able to get on the podium and Vial wasn't going to be able to. And Shimoda was right behind Vial in 4th place and then went down pretty hard. Got up in 10th place, so Shimoda goes down 2 laps or 2 motos in a row. At his 2nd moto, he went down pretty hard. They didn't really have a good camera angle to see how he landed, but based on how he got up and how hard it looked like he got thrown down, I'm assuming he probably landed on a downhill, so that probably helped him pretty good. Also, just going to assume he didn't hit the bike. Bike didn't hit him, so that's obviously good news as well. And then Shimoda and Levi Kitchen started the battle, and then that kind of like the wall turn or billboard turn. I think it's nicknamed the billboard turn. Shimoda was able to go inside of Levi Kitchen there for 5th place, and that knocked off Levi Kitchen for the overall podium for the time being. And it was Deegan, Vial, Hymus on the overall podium. And then on the very last lap, Chance Hymus, something happens where he had to slow up big time. Vial was able to get around him. That got Levi Kitchen back onto the overall podium with a 2-6 for, it was 3rd place overall, just barely beating out Chance Hymus' 5-3. So yeah, Deegan 1-1. I think he got that gap up to around 10 seconds. I don't see exactly what it ended at for at the end of the race. But yeah, I think at one point he had it around 10 seconds. So he goes 1-1. Vial goes 4-2 to get back in the podium. And like I mentioned, his last moto podium was at Fox Raceway, moto number 2. It was also his last overall podium. This time he goes 4-2, gets back on the moto podium, gets on the overall podium, and Levi Kitchen, like I mentioned, 2-6 for 3rd overall. And Jalik Swole, a lot better here in moto number 2. I thought maybe coming back from the Achilles, first race back, maybe the scores would be flipped with a stronger first moto and then maybe fades a little bit in the second moto. But that's not the case at all. He went 8th place here in moto number 2 for scores of 14 and 8 for 10th overall. Like I mentioned, the best Triumph guy out there. And last year's winner, Ty Masterpool, struggled. He went down in moto number 2, I'm pretty sure, and he went 8-17 for 11 overall. And big takeaways, one of them, Chance Hymus. Obviously, he's pulling off the track, kind of pointing at his right knee, I do believe it was. He was scheduled for an MRI on Monday and said he would let people know what happened. I don't think it's good because they showed him after the 450 Moto 2. They were showing Jet, and Chance Hymus was underneath the Honda tent as well at the time, with his knee covered up. I'm going to assume ice was probably on there. And he was on the table. Looked like he appeared to be pretty emotional. He's had two ACL surgeries in the past, so he knows what, I'm assuming he knows what a torn ACL would feel like. And that's the bad part, is obviously hoping nothing but the best, and hoping that he didn't have another torn ACL. Hopefully maybe just a little tweak, and this weekend off will really help him be able to heal up and whatnot. But yeah, still nothing out here for, or no news at least, is out for Chance Hymus's knee injury at least. Yeah, getting passed on the last lap by VL cost him the overall podium. And it sucks they didn't have, I guess they didn't have a camera on him when this happened, because I haven't seen any replays of it. I'm not sure if maybe a fan might have a video of it and maybe just hasn't been posted yet, but really, really intrigued to see what's going on with Chance Hymus. Big takeaway number two, for the 250s at least, the good weather. There was a very solid chance it was supposed to rain all day long in the 250s. Barely skated out of there with good weather for everything. They had sunshine. There was, end of that 250 Moto 2, there was some dark clouds in the background. It was, I didn't know if maybe it was going to start opening up towards the end and throw a curveball in everybody's plan, or throw a wrench in their plan, however the heck you want to say it. But yeah, the 250s lucked out big, big, big time with not having to deal with the rain. And then Hayden Deegan would be the last one. He now has 3 out of 4 overalls. Fox Raceway goes 1-1. Hangtown goes 1-1. Thunder Valley goes 2-2. And then that's where he finished second, obviously, to Chance Hymus' 1-1. And then in High Point now he goes 1-1. So he is absolutely running away with this championship. He is now, he's at, what does that say, 194, and in second place, Joe Shimoda is 42 points back. Chance Hymus in third place, which, who knows how that could be now. He's 62 points back. So is Garrett Marchbanks. Tom Viel in fifth place is, nice, 69 points back. So yeah, the closest guy, Joe Shimoda, already being down 42 points is not very good, especially with how consistent Joe Shimoda was at the beginning of the season, and now these last 2 weeks he's kind of taking a little bit of a downturn. He's hit the dirt a couple times in the last two motos. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see if anybody can find something during this off week that they have coming up and be able to put it to Deegan when they get back to Southwick and the rest of the season. I know the podium was asked in the press conference what their plan was for the off weekend. Deegan and Levi Kitchen both said just kind of chill and hang out, and Tom Viel was the only one up there that said he's still going to continue to train and ride. So yeah, going to be very, very interesting to see if this extra training and riding will help out Tom Viel. Now I'm sure Deegan and Levi Kitchen and Shimoda and all those other guys aren't just going to sit there and stuff their face full of cheeseburgers and donuts. Like, I'm sure they're still going to do stuff. I just They didn't say they were going to do as much as it sounded like Tom Vial was going to do. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see, especially with the deep sand, well, not endless sand of Southwick, but the sand of Southwick. Going to be very interesting to see how these guys come back for that one. Yeah, I think that'll just about wrap us up here for 250s. Yeah, on to the 450s now. What there was in qualifying, I saw a picture where Prado was like 6 seconds faster than everybody, and now I can't find it. Maybe was he 6 seconds slower? Did I like it on the old X machine? I did not. Okay. Interesting. I'm not sure where I saw that now. But fastest qualifier, starting to be not a very big surprise when we see Justin Cooper's name here up at the top of the list. I've mentioned it. He did it quite a few times on the 450. He's now done it a handful of times, or did it quite a few times on the 250s. And now he's done it a couple times here on the 450s. I honestly still might have said that backwards. I'm not sure. He's done it a handful of times on the 450s. Ran a 201.772, about 0.2 faster than Jet Lawrence with a 202.057. And then just a little shocker out here, Derek Kelly ran a 202.228. And Eli Tomac was fourth with a 203.42. Tomac, or Hunter Lawrence with a 203.47. The Mud Man, as Jet Lawrence called him, Aaron Plessinger, qualified eighth with a 205.5, 3.7 seconds back of Justin Cooper. I know after Moto number one, Plessinger was a little upset that he didn't get the rain. He got it in Moto number two, that's for sure. And he put up a good battle with Jet in Moto number one. I mentioned him earlier. Jorge Prado ran his fastest, was a 205.752, just a tenth under 4 seconds behind Justin Cooper. I saw someone mention, is it time to hit the panic button for Jorge Prado? I will give my answer to that at the end of our 450 recap here, in the big takeaway section. But yeah, I think it's time to now jump into 450 moto number one. And in this moto, it started off a lot like Thunder Valley started off, with Jet Lawrence getting out to a hole shot, Aaron Plessinger having a good start. One thing that we haven't seen all season long was Jorge Prado. He actually got a good start. I talked about last week how he was messing around with how he was his foot positioning and starting blocks and whatnot. So something paid off here in High Point Moto number one, because he pulled a pretty good start. And who else? Justin Cooper was P2. I think Prado was around three or four in the hole shot line. how do they not post the replay of the first moto start? That doesn't make any sense to me. But Aaron Plessinger, that's where I was going. He also got a very good start, just like in Thunder Valley. He was able to go inside on Justin Cooper for P2, and at that point, he was only 1.7 seconds behind Jet. He talked about Plessinger has been pretty vocal all season long about how he wants to be up battling for race wins, overall wins. He's happy on the podium, but he wants to be up battling for a little bit more. And he's shown the speed. He was the only one that could really pass Jet straight up. That happened in Thunder Valley last week. Yeah, Jet might have made a slight mistake, might have maybe let him by on purposely on accident. Who knows? But, hey, AP was able to get around him in Thunder Valley. And then going into, I mentioned it earlier, I call it the billboard turn, where they go across the start straight and then make that quick, was it left-hand turn with the little billboard behind it on ground level. Jet was going in there. He was kind of jumping into it off some braking bumps and said he just had too much weight on it and didn't have enough clutch, and he ended up stalling it with around 19 minutes left. Plessinger then was able to jump into the lead. Jet went down to third place, so he got passed by both Plessinger and his brother Hunter. He's about 5 seconds behind AP, who, like I mentioned, was able to get into first place. And then that very next lap, right before going to the finish line, Jet was able to go inside. That sounds weird if I would have finished that, but we're going to do it anyway. He goes inside of his brother to get second place there, and then he was able to set his sights on old Aaron Plessinger. Jet closed it down pretty quickly. He got it down to about 1 second-ish behind AP, but then he started to make a couple little mistakes that you don't really normally see Jet make. History has shown at High Point, he's made a couple uncharacteristic mistakes. I know he did have the big crash in Hangtown last year, but last year and the year before, he made a couple uncharacteristic, I think is how you say it. He made some unnormal mistakes, things you don't normally see out of Jet. I know he crashed a couple years ago, and Kenny Roczen was able to get by him for a little bit. So he's definitely had some struggles at High Point, but hey, he's always won though, so that's got to mean something. So those unnormal mistakes that Jet was making, was able to open up the gap back to around 3 seconds for Plessinger. AP talked on the podium after, said he wishes there was some rain that rolled in, but he didn't get that in moto number one. Boy, did he get it in moto number two, though. We'll talk about that one. There's a lot to talk about with that. But then Jet was able to close it back down right at the bottom of the hill, right before the finish line, I do believe. Yeah, going down the bottom, going down that hill. Plessinger was taking the very inside rut, and yeah, it was cutting off track, but Jet was just going, there was two main ruts, and then you could go around the outside. Jet was going in the middle one, carrying more speed, coming in and out of the turn, then was just able to get to the top of the hill faster before the finish line, and kind of close off the inside and really make the pass stick. And then AP slid back a little bit to old Hunter Lawrence, and that was a pretty good battle for about four or five corners at least. Hunter was able to finally make the move, jumping and then cutting underneath a little bit around in the same exact section that that Jet was able to get Plessinger. Hunter was also able to get him in the same spot. Hunter went through the same line that Jet did. AP went through the same line that he did earlier. And then I noticed after that, Plessinger started taking that middle rut. And so he was able to catch on to it after he got passed in the same spot by the two brothers. So he was able to kind of latch on a little bit there, if you will, and hang on for a third place, with the Lawrence bros going 1 and 2, Jet winning, Hunter in second, Justin Cooper a solid fourth, Eli Tomac, I do believe he had a bad start. Yeah, he was in 10th on lap 1. So that just shows how important starts are, and I've talked about it a lot, especially in the 250 class, but it is proven very big once again here in the 450 class, with Jet able to make quick moves on lap 1 if he doesn't get the whole shot, which is pretty rare. And then we saw Prado grab a good start, but then he started to fade back a little bit. He went all the way back to 12th. We will touch a little bit more on him after Moto 2 because, like I mentioned earlier, I saw someone ask the question, is it time to hit the panic button on Prado? And we will give our answer after Moto 2. So yeah, I think we will we'll jump into Moto 2 here now, where towards the end of 250 Moto number 1, you really started to see some of the clouds come in and really create some darkness in the background. And it happened about two turns into 450 Moto number 2, where Eli Tomac got a very good start. It started to sprinkle a little bit. I forgot about that. It started to sprinkle a little bit when the riders were lining up on the gate. Hunter grabbed the whole shot. Tomac, although, was able to get to the lead very quickly and starts. I've mentioned them before, especially when it starts to rain like it did here in Moto 2. Old Jetson got a bad start. Cooper Webb went down in the first corner, and Jet kind of had to check up, and I think he might have even bumped into him a little bit off the start. Jet got squeezed off a little bit going into the first turn. I think he actually ran over Cooper Webb while all that was happening. And in right before the tunnel jump, so I guess the second turn, Eli Tomac was able to make the pass in that turn. And that is when the rain started to absolutely just downpour. Plessinger was able to make his way into third very quickly. I mentioned he was by Jetson in that first corner, but he was able to sift through a whole pack of riders very quickly and was able to get into the third. And I noticed Jet was not making very quick work. He was in 10th on lap 1 and about 7, 8 minutes in, maybe even 10 minutes in at this point. He was only in 7th. I think I said that the right way. He was 10th lap 1, and about 8 to 10 minutes in, he was still only in 7th. And 10 minutes in, Tomac already had a 4.4 second gap. He was asked in the press conference after if he did any changes to his bike or goggle-wise, and he said he put on roll-offs instead of just normal tear-offs because roll-offs are a lot better in the rain and mud, because if rain gets behind one tear-off, you got to pull all the tear-offs until you get to that one so you can get clear vision again. And with the roll-offs, you just pull it, and it just kind of... it just moves the little film across the goggles, so a little bit easier to keep rain off of that one, off of roll-offs. And Jet and Hunter both said they didn't make any changes. They both wish they put roll-offs on instead of tear-offs. And it was interesting. The rain was only coming down for... there's a point where it was only coming down on half the track, so they were going in and out of the rain constantly. I'm sure that had to be pretty distracting. And then Jet was able to start making some quick moves around both Joey Savacci and Jason Anderson. But with around 13-ish minutes left, it looked like he was all out of tear-offs, because it looked like he was rubbing his goggles with around 13 minutes left, like I said. But he didn't have to worry about that for his pass on Justin Cooper for fourth place, because he just straight up ripped around the outside. And then his next guy, just like in Moto 1, was old AP, who ended up having no goggles. And once he was able to get around Plessinger after a mistake from Plessinger, where it looked like Plessinger just couldn't see, went into a giant hole, rut, and it was just soaked there, bogged him down a little bit. Jet was able to make the move around him, and then that put him into third place, which would get him the overall. A 1-3 would get Jet the overall. But KTM, they pulled off maybe the fastest pit stop you will ever see for goggles in a motocross race. Plessinger pulls in. They had one guy wiping his face down, getting all the mud off it, and then another guy threw the goggles right on top, and Plessinger took back off and was able to finish in fourth, which is very good, especially with not having goggles for who knows how long. I never really mentioned how long he didn't have goggles for, but there was a point where I'm assuming he didn't have them for a good 5-10 minutes almost. And then the 7:02 mark left rolls around, and they red flagged the race because I guess the lightning was within 8 miles of the track, and when that happens, after they already completed 20 minutes of the race, they consider it a finished race, which kind of sucks because there was still 7 minutes left and 2 laps. Would have been real interesting to see maybe if they push that back to 25 minutes being completed, because once you go after 25 minutes, you still got 5 minutes plus the 2 laps, so you still got a good 8 minutes ish left of racing, you'd like to think, on some tracks, maybe 7, at least a good 4 laps probably. Although I guess now that I'm thinking about that, I feel like that's not a whole lot, especially with the gap that Eli Tomac was able to pull out here in Moto number 2. I guess, I don't know, then you get back to the whole situation with the red flag we had in Supercross, where it was a 2- or 3-lap sprint to the end, where Levi Kitchen was able to end up winning for the 250s. I don't know, it's a very interesting rule. I saw a bunch of people saying, oh, how convenient they red flag it right after Jet was able to get into the lead, or get into third place to take the overall. I don't think that had anything to do with it, because if Jet wasn't able to get into third place, then Hunter Lawrence would have been able to get his first career overall win with, it would have been scores of 2-2 that would have beat Jet's 1-4 that he had. So yeah, I don't think there is anything fishy going on with the timing of the red flag. I just think it was I mean, you got to think it was just a coincidence because nobody wants to see, I don't really think anybody wants to see Jet run away with this championship. It would be cool to see Hunter Lawrence get his first overall victory. I mean, even if something else crazy happened where Hunter goes down because, hey, it was a mud race. He tips it over, bars get muddy, gloves get muddy, slippery. There's not an outside chance that Eli Tomac could have won that with a 5-1. That would have been sweet to see him get his first overall victory back. But it is cool to see Eli at least get a moto win back. Kind of interesting, like his first Supercross win back that he had was a Triple Crown. Kind of interesting, his first now motocross moto win back is a lightning shortened race. But he is able to go 5-1 for third overall. Jet, like I mentioned, 1-3 for first. Hunter Lawrence, 2-2 for second. Plessinger, 3-4 for fourth. I think it's big takeaway time. And I've teased it enough. We will just jump right into Jorge Prado. Question that was asked. Not to me, just to the general public. Is it time to hit the panic button on Jorge Prado? And it might seem a little early, but I think it is. I feel like he's got to be. He's very close to 100%. I've never broken my collarbone, so I don't know how long it takes. But he broke it round three of Supercross. Was riding for a while, testing before motocross. Never came back for Supercross. Coming into the season, he wanted to contend for championships, but in Hangtown going 12-23 for 17th overall, is not ideal for the former MXGP champion. I mean, his overall score is Fox Raceway 6th. Okay, not too bad for a first ever pro motocross race in overall. Hangtown, he went and got 9th. You can still say, okay, well, maybe he's still just trying to learn the tracks and whatnot, but he's not getting the starts that he was getting over there in the GP series either. Thunder Valley, 13th, and now High Point, like I just mentioned, with the 17th place score. So, yeah, not very ideal for old Jorge Prado, that is for sure. But if anybody can figure something out, it is a guy with the championship pedigree like him. We did see Tom Vial struggle pretty big in his rookie year over here. So, hopefully old Jorge Prado can figure something out when it comes to next season, ideally, most likely. Next one is Jet Lawrence. Jet Lawrence just keeps finding crazy and weird different ways to win. He's gone 1-1 plenty of times. He's now figured out a 1-3. Did kind of get bailed out a little bit by a bad Moto 1 start by Eli Tomac and ended up getting 5th. But still, credit to Jet Lawrence for knowing what he needs to do and being able to really just kind of calm down after he makes mistakes like we saw in Moto 1. Just a simple, goofy type of mistake, stalls the bike going into a turn, and then able to calm down and not freak out too much after getting passed by Plessinger for the lead, and then his brother Hunter for second place. So, yeah, credit to old Jetson Lawrence. And then the last one for the 450s, it's got to be the weather. It played right into at least what I thought would have been Aaron Plessinger's hand, but I guess maybe it was more Eli Tomac's hand. But AP did get a bad start in Moto number one, Or two, I mean, excuse me. So yeah, it absolutely started to downpour. They didn't even have the normal podium because of the lightning. So that did kind of suck, where you had to wait a little bit longer for the post-race show to get the immediate thoughts of Eli, Hunter, and Jet. I had a little brain fart, forgot who all was up there. But yeah, the weather was absolutely ruthless, just like the next track, Southwick, is going to be. Looking at the points now for the 450s, Jet sitting in first with 190, Eli Tomac 28 behind him, and then Aaron Plessinger is in third, 34 behind Jet. And what is that? Hunter Lawrence, 31 points behind his brother Jet. So yeah, Jet looking kind of like he's going to run away with another championship here in 450 motocross season. Hopefully Eli, I mean, it's hard to say, like, hopefully he can find something during the break, because he has been riding good. He's gotten a handful of bad starts. He's gotten a handful of good starts. And when he's gotten good starts, he's either won or he fought with Jet for pretty much the entire moto, like he did in moto number two at the opening round at Fox Raceway. I'm just hoping we can find something. Maybe we can get Plessinger his first career moto win when we get back. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how everything shakes out now after this week break. And I think we might have a little halfway type of show here for next week with no race. On RacerX, they do have the entry list, and Jeremy Martin's on the 250s. Oh, also, side note, we got an update on Chance Hymus. I'll have to... screw it. We'll do it right now. Chance Hymus came out and said he has a torn ACL in his right knee. And he also has a sprained MCL. He's going to have to undergo surgery to get that fixed, and he will be missing the remainder of the Super Motocross season. So I know in the 250 part of this, I mentioned we didn't have an update on Chance Hymus yet. Well, we got one after I finished that up. So yeah, throwing that in there now. But back to the entry list. It says Jeremy Martin is on the entry list, and I know it came out where he said he was going to just sit out until Millville, his hometown race. Well, his race. His family owns the track, and that is going to be his last career race. And also on the 450 side, it says number four, Chase Sexton. There are rumors about him not coming back until Red Bud. And I think it was Lewis Phillips, who's a big Chase Sexton guy, said he heard from guys in KTM that Sexton's going to be back for Southwick. And then Sexton responded to that saying, I no or not true or something to that effect. Let's see if we can find it here real quick. Sexton doesn't post on the old here we are. On May 31st, Lewis Phillips said, Ian Harrison just told me that he expects Chase to return at Southwick. And Chase Sexton responded to that and just said that's incorrect. So very interesting to see if Sexton will actually be back for Southwick. Hopefully we get a little update on that. I know he is back riding. He posted something a couple weeks ago saying that he was missing his dirt bike, and it was videos of him riding. So yeah, going to be very interesting to see what happens. Hopefully we get a word about that before the next show. Like I said, we'll try to do one next week, a little halftime type of update and recap, I guess you would call it. So yeah, Talking_Moto on X. Go give a follow, like, comment, retweet, questions, predictions, any of that good stuff. So yeah, we will be back probably next week. Yeah, we'll do one next week. Talking_Moto on X. See ya.